Welcome to the Michael Rivero What Really Happened radio program.
And aloha, America. Welcome to our show today. It is Wednesday, hump day, middle of the week, coasting through. What a busy news day. It is just insane out there, and it just feels like things are spinning further and further out of control. Let's get the Dow stuff just done and over with. It ended up 45 points. It was all over the place, bouncing around. A lot of volatility, a little bit in the green at the end of the day, and people are kind of celebrating. But the important thing is that more and more writers, more and more financial reporters and experts, including the New York Times, are now admitting that this Geithner plan is just going to dump billions and billions, potentially trillions of dollars of debt onto the taxpayers, that it is just wide open to gaming and looting by the banks and financial institutions. This is what we have been telling you for weeks now is going on out there. And now the corporate media is catching on to the thing. Everybody knows that's what's going on, and yet they're not going to stop it, and they're not going to change it. Folks, they've got you by the short and curlies, and they're yanking as hard as they can, and the only people who are going to stop it are going to be you. Now, before we get into the rest of the news, a story that's just now breaking. This is coming out of Florida, and it's another tragedy. There's been another shooting, and this one is interesting. This actually took place on a gun range with video surveillance. They got it on tape. This woman was there shooting with her son. Everything seemed to be fine. And all of a sudden, she turns and points her gun at the back of her own son's head and pulls the trigger. Then she turns the gun on herself. Apparently, her thinking was that she was the Antichrist and that she wanted to make sure her son was sent to heaven because it looked to her like we were at the end times. Now, we are already seeing on some of these TV networks that they're saying, oh, this is more proof that guns have got to be banned and guns have got to be, you know, and all the rest of this situation. But, folks, I mean, let's be honest here. What's going on is this woman is a nut. She's crazy. She's a nut. And they're saying in the news, she's been under treatment. This is probably another one of these cases where the antidepressants are out there. And she's operating in the real world with this fantasy, from the religious mythologies that has been drummed into her head. And she's bought into it hook, line, and sinker. And it is a reminder of the wisdom of the old phrase, if you can be taught to believe in absurdities, you can be convinced to commit atrocities. And that's exactly what happened. In her mind, where she is the Antichrist and her son is in risk of not going to heaven, which is a very desirable situation in this particular mythology, it's perfectly acceptable to plug him in the back of the head. The inquisitors who set fire to living people during the Inquisition, including some of my ancestors, were convinced by their biblical faith that they were actually doing a kindness to these people. That it was actually a beneficial thing to do to set fire to them while they were still alive and watch them burn to death. It's just insane. We're at the edge of the third millennium, the 21st century, and we're still seeing people walking around with these ideas in their head. And today it has had a tragic, tragic consequence. Although they're still not saying anything about it, but I tend to view that more than likely this tragedy was pharmacologically enhanced. We know there is a strong correlation between these mood-altering drugs, especially the SSRIs, that and teen suicides and random acts of violence, and it seems like it. The other situation, of course, is I mentioned yesterday, I've gone back through the FBI supplementary crime statistics, and this kind of stuff tragically does happen all the time, but it seems to be reported preferentially today. And the reason is, it looks like the gun grabbers are going to come back for another try. Now, interestingly enough, just before all these mass shootings in New York and Pittsburgh and all the rest of it, the Gallup poll had showed support for gun control was definitely on the wane in the United States, probably because everybody recognizes we've got a dictatorship now, and the best way to deter dictators, as Thomas Jefferson said, is to have an armed public. So all of a sudden, you know, and this is the same situation we had at Columbine, where Colorado was about to pass a concealed carry ban. There had been success with concealed carry across the country. Every time concealed carry was legalized, crime would drop in that area. And for the anti-gun, or as I call them, the pro-crime crew, this was bad news. And Columbine happened right when they needed it to reverse the trend, to get Colorado to say, no, we can't have concealed carry. This is a terrible, terrible thing. And sure enough, the Gallup poll shows support for a gun ban comes on, and all of a sudden we're having all these gun crimes show up. And especially in Binghamton, New York, where we had two guys removed from the building in handcuffs, and then they just go away from the story. And we're told it was a lone, crazed lone nut, registered trademark, U.S. government, and he committed suicide, so we can't find out what's going on, and that's the end of the story. And then we have the situation in Pittsburgh, which they're trying to say, oh, the shooter was a reader of those conspiracy websites, and they put him up to it, and blah, 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 blah. Now, when this all started happening a few days ago, I made an observation, both here on the radio show, and to my readers at whatreallyhappened.com, and I said, what these mass shootings are proving is not that guns are dangerous, but that the police rarely, rarely, if ever, show up in time to prevent one of these crimes, which, whether it's Columbine, Virginia Tech, Binghamton, whatever. The cops can't get there in time. We really don't have pre-crime yet, all the pretenses to the contrary notwithstanding. Pittsburgh showed that even when the cops are there, they may not do a very good job. And I said, so all of these mass shootings are arguing that we need an armed populace to take care of itself. And apparently this message was picked up. It went viral. It went all over the country on blogs and gun rights groups and all the rest of it, because they've run another poll since the Pittsburgh and Binghamton shootings and found that the shootings did not have any effect on support for gun ban. Gun sales are up, ammunition sales are up, people are arming themselves. And it's not just because of the increased crime that comes during hard economic times. It's also because they're seeing the government move towards gun control and gun ban. We've got this thing about all ammunition has to have serial numbers on it that's due out in the middle of summer, which is going to drive the cost of ammunition into the stratosphere in order to limit the ability of people to purchase ammunition for self-defense, home defense, practice shooting, you know, chasing the revenues away from the still, what have you. So there's this huge push, because our government is seeing what's happening in Moldova and Thailand and Greece and Iceland, and they know it's coming to happen here. It's probably going to build to a head in summer, because some of these banks, despite billions and trillions of taxpayer dollars, they look to be collapsing. And now, even, like I said, even the New York Times is admitting this is all a scam. They're looting the public treasury to give to the banks. They're impoverishing the people. They're sticking us with all this unpayable debt. It has gotten so bad, Moody's has literally downgraded the entire country. Every municipal government in the United States has been placed on negative outlook by the Moody's rating agency. Now, the federal government still has a AAA rating, only because it's got 300 million slaves ready to work themselves to death to repay whatever loans it's going to take out. But the rest of the economy, the municipal economies, they're all being downgraded. And that is a red warning sign. The money's flowing in the wrong direction. Instead of getting it back to the people so we can buy stuff and make payments on everything, they're just pulling more and more money away from us. And it's just, it's exactly the wrong thing. And it's building to a head, and the government knows there's going to be a problem, and there's going to be resistance. They're trying to find some way they can get you to give up your guns or justify a gun ban and gun confiscation. As we mentioned yesterday, Diane Sawyer on ABC this Friday is going to be doing a segment on her show in which they're going to try and convince you that ordinary citizens with guns really aren't trained to deal with these kind of drastic situations. They're going to try and convince you you really can't take care of yourself even with a gun, so you'd better rely on the police. We got to take a break here right now. If you want to join us on the air, 800-259-9231. Donovan's in the control room. We'll continue on this topic after these words from our sponsors.
This This is Cascadia Public Radio.
Welcome to What Really Happened Radio. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. And now, set your eyes on the future and let's consider what really happened.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. We're talking about this story that was just breaking at the start of the show. Tragic, tragic shooting incident down in Florida, caught on videotape. And being played all over and being pounded on by the gun grabbers saying, see, this proves guns are bad. For those of you just tuning in right now, the short version is that this woman was at the gun range practicing with her son, convinced she was the Antichrist, wanted her son to go to heaven, turned and shot him in the head, and then shot herself. So that's where we are right now. I am of the opinion, I have, there's no information to support this yet, but I am of the opinion that more than likely, given that she had a prior history of mental problems, that she may have been on antidepressants or SSRIs, because there does seem to be a very strong correlation between these mood-altering chemicals and some of these random acts of violence and teen suicide and so forth. But getting back to the situation, the push is on. We know that the Obama administration came into office wanting stricter gun control, wanting tighter gun control. Never mind that in most of these large cases of these mass shootings, they're already using weapons that are illegal. Or there are, you know, the laws we have aren't being enforced. The answer is always, let's create a new law. Let's create a new law. And we have all these laws that are not being enforced to prevent these situations. But the bottom line is, and my position is, that all of these mass shootings are absolutely proof the police are never going to show up in time to deal with a crime. You've got to do it yourself, and the government has to let you have the means to deal with it yourself. Now, Diane Sawyer is taking an alternate approach. On Friday, they're running a segment on ABC to basically say that ordinary citizens lack the training to be able to handle themselves in a situation like this. Now, that, of course, is very, very presumptive. What ABC is basically doing is saying you're all idiots, and you're all too stupid to be able to handle a firearm, and therefore we should take guns away from you and give them to the people like the police, who actually didn't do a very good job of it in Pittsburgh, I would like to point out here. So they're going out here. And as I said yesterday, I have no objection if a requirement to purchase a firearm is a gun safety course. I have no objection to that at all. And if you want to learn combat shooting, get into paintball. Great way to learn how to handle a firearm under the stress of an actual combat situation. But that's not the point. Study after study has shown that when your population is carrying concealed weapons, they don't have to pull them out and use them, usually. The mere awareness that a neighborhood is carrying weapons or has weapons lowers crime. Every one of these mass shootings that you've seen, they have gone into places where they knew nobody would be able to defend themselves. After the Virginia Tech shooting, they were talking about, oh, we've got to have a gun ban on campuses and all that. Virginia Tech had a gun ban on campus. There was already a gun ban there, and everybody was disarmed. All the targets were absolutely helpless. The shooter isn't paying attention to the gun ban, and he was there and armed for the teeth. By the time the cops show up, it's already over. So they're trying to sell you this idea, you're too stupid to take care of yourself, you've got to rely on Big Daddy government to protect you from yourself, and you've got to surrender your guns, which is going to make organized crime very happy. Okay, the phone lines are loading up, we got a bunch of callers, so let's go to Jeff in Texas. Aloha, Jeff, what's on your mind today?
Yeah, hi, Michael. All the craziness in the news notwithstanding, I wanted to share with the audience, I think, a very useful tool out on the web for mapping personal relationships and social networks to corporations and government organizations. It's called Muckety, as in, Muckety Mucks, M-U-C-K-E-T-Y, Muckety.com, and you can go and add in any person or corporation and search, and it'll bring up a nice spider-like social network. And so if I were to put in Blackwater, I could go see that this mercenary firm is now called XE, and I can see who the board of directors are, who they're related to, who they used to, what boards they used to serve on. It's really a powerful tool.
Oh, well, I will definitely put that up at the end of the show, and I can already imagine all kinds of things I'm going to try on that as well. And so it's MUCKETY.com, correct?
That's right.
All right, we'll give that a try. Thanks an awful lot for the phone call, Jeff, and we will. We'll put it up at whatreallyhappened.com after the show. We're going to switch to Richard in Texas. Aloha, Richard. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Mike. I'm just calling about the gun thing you were talking about a little while ago. I was just going to say, let's not forget about this stuff could all be staged the same way they stage things for us to get to war about this someone's freaking out with a gun, and now we got a anti-gun. It's a coercion into getting us to get rid of our Second Amendment right to bear arms because a few people went off their rocker. You know what I mean? We're talking millions of a fraction of people that are going off on their rocker compared to 250 million people in this country. I mean, give us a break. People need to wake up and realize that this is bull. That's our only protection against this government is our right to bear arms.
Oh, that's the reason we have the Second Amendment. I mean, it's not about hunting and it's not about sports shooting. It says right in the Second Amendment, security of a free state. Obviously, the weapons that are reserved to the individual Americans to keep and bear are military arms equal to those the government itself possesses. That was the intent of the Founding Fathers. Thomas Jefferson wrote,
that's right.
The reason for the Second Amendment is to resist tyranny in government. We're all under a lot of stress and financial pressure right now. And as far as staged events, of course that's possible. As I was saying earlier in the show, we have this story about two guys were taken out of the Binghamton Civic Center in handcuffs. It was reported on all the TV, and then all of a sudden, those two guys are gone. It is non-operational. They're just not part of the story anymore. It's a lone gunman, and he died on the scene, so we have no recourse to find out what was really going on. We saw the same thing in Columbine. There was talk of a third shooter, even a fourth and a fifth one. I remember there was one guy who was taken out in handcuffs, and he went away. He vanished from the story. And
well,
so, yeah.
What about the two guys that were in Baghdad that were part of the SAS, British SAS, and they were posing as Taliban, shooting civilians?
Yeah, and the police, and shooting the police. Yeah, that was...
Exactly.
Yeah, they do stuff like that all the time.
Yeah, and I mean, it's the same thing, you know what I mean? People, they could just be sending people out there, hopped up on Prozac like they say they are, you know, and saying that they're the reasons why we need to get rid of our guns. But all I know is just that we need to remember... All right. You know, I think you're doing a great job with this show.
Well,
I love it.
Thank you very much. Thank you. And, yeah, the government plays dirty. We know that from COINTELPRO. That's probably the biggest secret the government can no longer keep is they play dirty. And now everybody knows it. They're aware of it. They're prepared for it. And, Richard, we're going to let you go here because we've got a lot of other callers on the line. We're going to switch over to Randy in California. Aloha, Randy. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind today?
Mike, how are you today? The previous gentleman who just called, I'm on the same side of that event that happened at the shooting range. It was pretty horrible. And, you know, there's no doubt that that the mainstream media is hyping up the gun situation to the extreme. And they're covering any time somebody pulls a trigger anywhere, it's on the news. And I just wanted to use this analogy. You know, the government, you know, to control guns, you know, people kill people. It's not guns, okay? And here's my analogy. Cars, okay? Cars kill more people in the United States than probably any other industry.
Okay, Randy, hold that thought. Randy, hold that thought. Stick with us through the commercial break. I want to bring you back, and we come into the next segment. This is the What Really Happened radio show. I'm your host, Mike Rivero. The phone number is 800-259-9231, and we will be right back.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN, great talk radio starts here.
We will not go down in the night without a fight. You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight.
back. We're talking about gun laws. We're talking about the shooting. We're talking about the media obsession with gun control right now. You know, our government is desperate to convince us that guns in the hands of ordinary citizens are bad things. They're bad. You really shouldn't have them. And Diane Sawyer and ABC on Friday are basically going to take the position that we're all too stupid to handle firearms. And therefore, we should surrender our firearms and just rely on the police and the government to take care of us, you know, little tiny livestock so that we don't harm ourselves, unfortunately. Anyway, back to Randy in California. Randy, just pick up where you left off before we went to the break.
I just wanted to make an analogy, Mike. Let's say there's 100 million gun owners in America. Let's say there's 100 million car owners in America, which wouldn't surprise me, either figure, okay? Now, how many days, how many people get killed daily with cars out on the streets? Okay,
I don't know. It's a huge number.
Well,
yeah.
You know, I don't expect you to have the answer. Like I say, I'm just going to draw a comparison here. Everybody that's probably listening now knows or has been in an accident one time in their life, a car accident, or knows somebody who's been maimed or fatally wounded. I mean, probably majority of people know that because that happens in the real world. But those same people, how many of those people know somebody who's been involved in a shootout or got shot? I'm saying the proportional number of car owners and people who know people who have been maimed by cars is much higher than guns ever was. And if they chose to put on the media car accidents every night and how cars were so terrible, you could see that profusely on the news, okay?
Well, here's my point, Mike.
You know, they're not going to ban cars because stupid people get behind the wheel of cars and crash into other people and kill people, okay? They're not going to ban cars, okay? And mm-hmm. Use that same analogy with guns. You know, if there's an idiot with a gun, he can't demonize the entire gun community, and they can't expect to ban guns. You'd have to ban cars first. They're much more deadly. You know, they are contributing to global warming. It's a straw man argument for gun control.
Well, you know, let me intrude here because you've hit on a very important point. The reason they're reporting on all these gun shooting incidents is because they're newsworthy. They're rare. They're unusual. They don't report on car fatalities because it's happening so much. It's just part of the background noise. I mean,
sure.
more people are killed in this country with baseball bats than with assault rifles, and you are far more likely to die at the hands of your own doctor than you are to die in a shooting incident. And the same thing. We don't ban doctors because sometimes there's a mishap. We don't ban cars because sometimes there's a mishap with a nut behind the wheel. But the government is afraid of an armed population. Organized crime is afraid of an armed population. They are trying as hard as they can to convince us to all make ourselves helpless before a government that even now is taking trillions of dollars from our pockets to give to the banks so the banks can loan it back to us at interest. Such a deal. So that's really kind of what's going on there. Anyway, we have got a ton of callers on the line, so Randy, I got to let you go here, and we are going to switch over to John in Canada. John, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Mike. Well, much of what you were just talking about, you know, as you said earlier, you know, we have largely the laws on the books. They're just not being enforced, and that goes straight across the board. I mean, Bush closed 9/11 investigations, obstruction, AIG. That's called extortion, according to Ben Stein, you know, one of the rare voices in America speaking on that issue.
Mm-hmm.
Subprimes. That's fraud in like at least 20 different ways, but we don't have as many patriots as we need to discuss these things freely. With an open debate field for questions right across national boundaries. You know, it should be a national discussion on this. But as it pertains to the shootings, you know, it's interesting how many times, and I don't know, it's got to be somewhere near 95%, when we do discover these individuals responsible for these mass killings, they happen to be on antipsychotic drugs. Now,
yeah.
You know,
or antidepressants.
I had spoken to somebody about this, and he was a good guy, but he did, you know, he's going, well, you know, you still got to be responsible for your own actions and everything else, and that's true for sure. But you know, people don't understand when you alter brain chemistry, you know, crazy stuff can happen in your mind. You know, younger when I was a kid, somebody had put sodium pentothal, I think it was, into my drink.
Mm-hmm.
And this makes you just speak the truth without any apprehensions whatsoever on anything. You just, the words just come out of your mouth, and it's the strangest thing. And then when you come off of it, you go, geez, that was, you know, it's like an invasion of your soul or something. Like these kind of chemicals can really mess you up. And the thing about it with antipsychotics, they're like antacids. We actually understand the science of why it makes people crazy, just like we understand the science of why when people take antacids, they get acid reflux disease. So they got to get stronger and stronger antacids until you got the industrial strength, and then you or Tums in the industrial size container, which is, I don't know, 5,000 Tum tablets. And I unfortunately know a lot, I know several people that are their bodies are addicted to it. They can't function without eating Tums on a constant basis. Otherwise, acid flies up through their esophagus and burns the inside of their bodies and everything else. But this is the problem. I know there are laws on the books. You know, I don't think everybody has the right to own a nuclear weapon, for example. I think some of these automatic, semi-automatic weapons, there should be some controls on it. And but if you're, you know, if you're competent, and like you were saying, perhaps a class that they should be required to take would be a good thing. And maybe at the gun shows, I've heard that anybody, this was years ago, I don't know if it's the same way now. I know I've heard years ago that anybody can walk into a gun show, but I don't think that that's necessarily.
No, that's not true anymore. That's not true anymore.
Good, good. And maybe there should be some controls on what kind of psychotic drugs they take, and then that we could push in. By discussing that issue, we can push in the fact that we scientifically understand that these things are detrimental to our mental health. I mean, why are we, so many of these people, like I say, I don't know what the official number is, but I know it's got to be really high. You know, these people take these pills, they get off their medications, and you have the counter reaction. Your body no longer has that chemical in there where it's constantly reacting in its own way. You remove that chemical, and now you've got an excess of the counter.
Yeah. There's a backlash.
And then
know,
that's scientifically proven, and that's how our bodies operate. Yeah,
very much so. Yeah, very much so. No, that's a real concern. And, you know, the issue is that, you know, banning everybody's guns isn't the answer. What you've got to do is say, okay, we're going to prescribe this medication to you. And while you're on this medication, you know, we insist you put a lock on your gun. You know, but the bottom line is when people go completely off their nut like this lady in Florida did, you know, it is a problem. And, you know, it's a shame that nobody was able to intervene. At that point, you know, but she just apparently this just came out of thin air. And the reason I want to know if she was on this sort of medication is because the common factor in all of these SSRI incidents is that your control of impulses evaporates on these medications, where just any idea that you get into your brain, you're going to act on. And the normal limits that you would have that say, you know, no, I'm not going to do this really stupid thing here. They seem to go away. There have been a couple of incidences where people are on SSRIs and there's an intervention that stops them from committing suicide. And then after it's all over, they can't explain why they wanted to kill themselves because everything is fine. It's just, it just got into their head and they said, okay, I'm going to do it. And, you know, this is really powerful, powerful chemicals. And, you know, I know the pharmaceutical industries are really trying to keep this aspect of these things from coming out, as are the anti-gun people, because they want all the blame to go onto the guns. But it is an issue, and it's got to be looked at. We've got this wonderful little spreadsheet we're just setting up here of all these incidents with these medications connected to these mass shootings and these suicides. And we're going to put it up there where people can kind of look on these things. But I want to find out, did the guy in Binghamton, was he on these antidepressants? The guy in Pittsburgh, was he on them? Nobody seems able to find out. Nobody's talking to the doctors. It's one of those questions where it's now considered impolite to ask. And certainly this girl in Florida, who had an admitted history of mental problems. You know, and I'm okay with people who've got histories of mental problems saying maybe we need to, like, make sure they're only using a pellet gun. Or something like that. You know, I'll tell you what we have here in Hawaii, and maybe this is an idea that we should have for people who aren't really, you know, safe with guns. We do a big business with people come over from Japan. They've never been allowed to hold a gun in Japan. Japan has a complete ban on all guns. When you murder somebody over there, you do it with a samurai sword. So the gun ranges here, they all have these little braces and chains where you can't turn the barrel in the wrong direction. And the Japanese come in here and they spend a bunch of money and they get to fire a real gun and they go home happy. We're going to take a break here. Stay on the line. We'll be back after these words from our sponsors.
Can we talk?
Can we talk?
Can we talk about gun control?
Gun control?
Seems like it should work, doesn't it?
It should work.
You'd think so. Yeah.
Pass the right laws.
Pass the right laws.
And you can disarm the criminals.
You disarm them.
That's the idea.
But the problem is...
The problem?
Criminals don't obey the law.
They don't obey the law.
That's true.
After all, they're criminals.
They're criminals.
Criminals. They'll always find a way to get guns.
no matter how many laws you pass.
Which means
they still have guns.
They still have guns. While the rest of us...
The rest of us?
The rest of us are just left defenseless.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio? Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
What this country is coming to, I sure would like to know. If they don't do something by and by, the rich will live and the poor will die. Doggone. The panic is on.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. Last segment, the phones are full. I hope we can get to everybody. We're going to be rushing here. We're going back to John in Canada, if you want to finish up where you were about the laws on the books.
Yeah, it won't take much time. We got to understand that justice is our own, or justice is ours, and we can exercise our rights by understanding really the simplest things. You don't need to be a constitutionalist, or it's a good thing to understand the Constitution, but a lot of those principles in the Constitution are just easy sense. You need evidence to form a conclusion. Otherwise, the guy's an innocent person. By Bush closing investigations, he's undermining justice for ourselves. And for him to tell you if you disagree with him, you're a terrorist would be incorrect, and we need to correct ourselves and demand that investigations be reopened and we nab the actual bad guys responsible for mass murder in New York City. My beloved America, do not go forsaken. Let's get together on these simple issues and demand justice for ourselves. Continue on, Mike. Thanks for taking the call.
You got it. Thanks a lot, John. And please call in again here. We're going to switch over to Chris in Florida. Chris, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind today?
Well, what isn't on everybody else's mind is so many neurons firing off as a result of these SSRIs or these synthetic psych meds that everybody gets addicted to. And that there are many natural mood lifters, including exercise, but, minimal exercise. But L-tryptophan, the amino acid, is finally legalized again about 2 years ago. When it was criminalized or made outlawed back in the 80s, it was because of a so-called contaminated batch from Japan. It was because they were experimenting with genetically modified organisms, and so they outlawed tryptophan as a whole, saying that it's dangerous when nothing could be further from the truth. And then about a week later, Newsweek had an article pushing and praising Prozac, so mm-hmm. Wonders of Prozac, another SSRI. And L-tryptophan, I don't know why people don't take it, because it'll allow your body, it's one of the precursors, as are chromium and GABA, G-A-B-A.
Well, here's the situation, and we've been talking about this many, many times before. There are a lot of natural mood elevators that have been used for hundreds and hundreds of years, and it's known what their pharmacological effects are and what they are not. They are derived from natural processes here on the earth, and there's no unexpected surprises in them. But you cannot patent them. You cannot charge huge inflated profit-making prices for them. So what the pharmaceutical companies do is they work to basically remove the natural versions from the marketplace and then substitute their engineered, artificially created pharmaceutical materials. And because we don't really understand how the brain works all the way through, and because these things get rushed to market after only minimal scientific testing, these things are going out there and we don't really know all there is to know about them, because they're brand new, they're patented, they're proprietary, they're being sold as hard as they can. They go to these medical conventions and they give free samples to the doctors along with all sorts of promotional items. And it's just marketing, marketing, marketing. And they get out into the general public and the initial results are very, very good. And then all of a sudden we start hearing, these bad things may be happening. And rather than dealing with that issue, because it's all about profits, they hire PR agencies to keep the lid on it and say, oh, no, it wasn't really our medication. It was this over here. And it's all spin doctoring and spin control. And the bottom line is that we're being sold stuff which may have side effects that nobody really knows about until we have been on them for quite a long time. And then the side effects begin to surface, and it's not really a good way to take care of the health of the population. It's a great way to make money, but it's not necessarily the best way of taking care of the population. And especially, like the last caller said, when you're messing with the chemistry of the brain, anything can go wrong.
Well, they make you a repeat customer because they're addictive, they're dependency forming, and they hate our independent thought. Causes up to three times more anxiety attacks or more. especially when the withdrawal from trying to get off them. And it's really terrible trying to talk somebody out of taking their psych meds because they are so addictive.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, it's something that, if you offer them alternatives, even though some of them, like tryptophan, should not be mixed with these synthetic meds. Of course, we never have a Prozac or a Wellbutrin deficiency. We have a nutritional deficiency in a natural mineral like chromium or amino acids mm-hmm. like GABA or tryptophan or things that our bodies are missing and can produce the serotonin instead of recycling a half-assed version of serotonin through our heads and then rewiring after about 30 days your actual neurons and making you so dependent and you're dulling you so much, especially. And a lot of people complain about that, but they're willing to put up with it because of the addiction is so strong, the dependency is so strong, and it scares me about our society.
Well, I'm absolutely in agreement here, and Chris, we're going to let you go here because we've got one more caller I want to get to. He's been waiting for a very, very long time, and I don't want him to feel that we don't love him. So, Chris, we're going to let you go, but you are absolutely right. You know, there is an area of concern about these chemicals, and the media focus is going to be on the guns here because that serves the current agenda and doesn't threaten the profits of the pharmaceutical industry. But, yeah, there's definitely an issue. There is certainly enough anecdotal evidence about these psychologically effective chemicals and their links to teen suicides and other acts of seemingly senseless random violence. It does need to be looked at. Okay, we're going to switch over to Bob in Pennsylvania. Aloha, Bob. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind today?
Yeah, hi, Mike. I just wanted to say I think you're an atheist, aren't you? You said that you
mm-hmm.
are.
Yes.
So I think you have to watch that you yourself don't disparage religion unduly. As it seems you may have when you were describing that, you know, obviously this woman was a nut. And
yes.
So to talk about religious mythology and say that, you know, the people in the Inquisition burned their subjects because they felt it was the right thing to do, that's more of a condemnation of ignorance, I would say, than the actual religion.
If you really think about it, I mean, follow me along with this little bit of logic. Let's say in the Middle Ages, and you lived in Europe, and somebody told you about an elephant that they'd seen in Africa, and you believed this person who told you about the elephant, and you believed in the elephant. But once you actually see an elephant for yourself, you no longer need to believe, because now you have the knowledge. And what religion was, if you go back thousands of years ago when you've got a bunch of people sitting around a campfire and they don't have science and they don't have technology and they don't have knowledge of the world, these were the beliefs they put together to basically fill in where they didn't have the knowledge. So you're absolutely correct. These religious fanatics in the Middle Ages were operating from a position of ignorance and used religion as a substitute for actually knowing. Now, I don't have a problem if you personally want to believe in God or Quetzalcoatl or the flying spaghetti monster. I'm not interested, you know, in coming in and convincing you which one or whatever is going on. Where I get a problem here is organized religion is a tool of exploitation and enslavement, and anytime somebody uses religion as an excuse for some very antisocial behavior. I mean, you know, look at all of the Inquisition, the Crusades across the Middle East, people hacking at each other from both sides screaming, it's the will of the gods, it's the will of the gods, hack, 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 hack. That I got a problem with, and I'm going to oppose that. My comments about this woman is that, yes, she's got mental problems, but she had to have some kind of a framework around which her thought processes were going to anchor. And unfortunately, it came out of the religious mythology where she thought she's the Antichrist and she wants her son to go to heaven, so she kills him. And my issue with that is that, first of all, if you accept that there's a heaven, which I don't, you know, it's a good chance the kid's going to show up there himself all on his own. Why hurry the situation along? And if you are of the same opinion I am, that there really isn't a heaven, then she's wiped out half this kid's life for no real valid reason whatsoever. That I've got a problem with.
All right. There's not time enough to go into this, but...
Okay. All right. Well, you know, but I understand where you're coming from, and I'm not trying to disparage any individual religious beliefs. Believe in whatever you want to. good luck, my blessings, I don't care. Where I get into is where people use these beliefs as an excuse to go out and commit very evil actions, and that's kind of where we are right now. Somebody in the chat room is saying, hack, 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 back at me. So, anyway, the music means thank you very much for the call, Bob. Call in again. Yeah, we're at the end of the show. Wow, what a show. I didn't mean to go off totally on the gun control thing like that, but it is. It's a tragic, tragic situation that has happened, you know, and I don't know what to say about it. Anyway, we'll be back tomorrow, Thursday. More of the show, your phone calls, news, and everything. We've got so much I wanted to talk about today. We're going to carry over until tomorrow. So until then, stay safe, be well, hug your loved ones, drive carefully, a lot of road rage out there, and aloha, America.